I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Lord makes no mistakes. He has saved us and He has allowed us to remain on this earth in the 21st century for a purpose. Many, many things are happening in this world and many of these things are beyond our control. And whether we like it or not, we are confronted by them and we need to know from scriptures how to deal with them. When young Daniel was thrust into the city of Babylon as a slave, as a captured slave, there were three things that was demanded of him or required of him. First, they changed his name, hoping that by changing his name, they would be able to change Daniel's heart and his loyalty. Instead of to Jehovah, he may begin to be loyal to the chief god of the Babylonians, that would be Baal. And so they changed his name to Belteshazzar. The second thing that they tried to do was to give him a new education, hoping that with a new education, with all the lessons that he learned of the Babylonian school, from the Babylonian school, he may have a new mind. But Daniel understood the difference between right and wrong. His understanding of the knowledge of the Word of God was strong enough to help him discern truth from error, to remove the chaff from whatever was taught to him as a young teenager. The third aspect was the most dangerous of all the three, and that was to change his lifestyle, his manner of life. They tried to change his life by changing his name, by changing his mind. When these two steps failed, hopefully these two steps will work. And the third step was more direct and more blatant in its transformation of his way of life. Try to get them to eat the food offered to idols, king's food, the best food. And with that, Daniel put a stop. We live in a world where what you and I say and think is very important. But compared to how you and I conduct ourselves in our way of life, it must reflect what we think and what we say. If we think and say that we are Christians, that we think like Christ, then our life must reflect also the thinking and the doctrine and the nature and the characteristic of Christ, of Scriptures. We cannot think one way, we think like the Bible, what the Bible teaches, and then our way of life is totally opposite. This would be hypocrisy. We all can understand that. We all know what hypocrisy means. But the sad part is sometimes we live this way. We allow what we think and what we say, according to scriptures, to satisfy us. And we are very happy and contented with what we think and what we say. But when it comes to the way that we live, we seem to go by a totally different guidebook. We seem to have a different set of rules. Where the rules come from? What's the basis for all these rules? It's up to us. It's perhaps like the days of the judges. Everyone just did what was right in their own eyes. It was a doing of what was right in their own eyes. Bringing up children. My way is the best way. My children, my way is the best way. What the Bible says must be judged by my way, my standard. Where we go for recreation. How we relate to the kind of music I listen to. How should I treat this body of mine? All these things are not under the control of God's word. It's under my control, what I think and what I say. What I can eat, what I cannot eat, what I do not want to eat, what I like to eat, what I like to listen, where I want to go, what I should watch, what I should not watch. All these come from a different guidebook, a different basis, a different source, a different book of authority. Very often, Christianity to many of us is a theory. And who knows this best than Satan himself? The New Age movement is not a very old movement. It appears old because it is a mixture of Western culture and religion with Eastern mysticism. Eastern religions, Eastern practices, Eastern method of healing, Eastern method of looking after this body of ours. Don't eat meat, eat only vegetable, organic food. This is good, this is best. Eat only vegetable, eat only fruits. This will help cleanse the filth and the dirt that is in our body. Meat is no good. And so we do all these things, divorced from the scriptures, thinking that, well, I just do what is right in my own eyes. The Bible is silent on all these things. The term New Age describes a very broad movement of the late 20th century and modern contemporary Western culture. It was popularized in the 1980s by the American mass media, especially through the actress Shirley MacLaine. How do you define the New Age movement? It is everywhere. You find it in books, you find it in shops, you find it in a lot of health shops. You find it in the movies. You find it everywhere, all over the place. They control many, many mass media, including the kind of music that is very soothing, that is very comforting, very nice to listen to. It's very gentle. They use world sounds, they call it. They will play the sounds of cricket, of birds chirping, of wind blowing, of sound of waves, and then they will mesh everything together into something that is very soothing. That's New Age. They started it. They popularized it. Who are these people? We live in a world that desires to influence our lifestyle because they may not mind. You can think what you want. You can say what you want. But so long as I control your lifestyle, I control you. The prince of this world would boast. They formulate their own beliefs, their own practice based upon experiences. There is no one central figure. It's up to the individual. You can form your own belief based upon what you think, based upon how you desire to interpret reality. Most New Age practices' beliefs may be characterized as a form of alternative spirituality or alternative religion. It has alternative medicine or traditional medicine. It will alter your mind, your body, and your spirit. It is also Christian in nature because many of the terms they use would be found in the scriptures. It's as if they have Christianized Eastern religion and philosophy and make it very acceptable and palatable even to some branches of Christianity. And so some Christians have no problem accepting the New Age as Christian because they use a lot of terms that are Christian. They use the name of Christ. No problem. They talk about prayer. They talk about meditation. They will pray. They will come together. They will have quiet time. They will have a time of silence. They will do things such as channeling. That means thoughts passing through them. My thoughts will go through you and your thoughts will go through me. Channeling. Reincarnation. They will believe in crystals having some powers. Psychic experience. Holistic health. Environmentalism. Protect the world. This earth is Mother Earth. UFOs. Earth mysteries. Crop circles. You know crop circles? Suddenly out of nowhere, you go to the field and from a helicopter or from a bird's eye view, you see all these patterns, crop circles, movies have been made on all these special phenomena. New Age. Quartz crystals are bought by them because they believe in crystal power. In Britain, you find them through the neo-theosophist called Alice Bailey in her writing. You find them in Russia. You find them in Scotland through the Finhorn Foundation. You find them in Brazil. You find them in Germany. You find them all over the world. And you find them in Singapore. They have books entitled Sun Signs, 1968, best-selling astrology books by Linda Goodman. And Love Signs, 1978, by the same author, Linda Goodman, The Harmonic Convergence, organized by Jose Aguelis. Shirley MacLaine, her television miniseries, Out on a Limb, 1987. It was an autobiographical account of her midlife spiritual exploration. Other influential are the claims of channelers such as Jane Roberts, J. Zach Knights, who wrote A Course in Miracle, The Celestial Prophecy, Mutant Message Down Under, Conversations with God, New Donald Walsh. You have their beliefs. There are many of them. Just to highlight a few of them for our consideration. All humanity possess some kind of energy which they call God. You have in you a God. You are God, in other words. This is what they teach every human being. There is in you a force, an energy which is named God, and you have it, you possess it, and you must make these come alive through channeling, through seance, through meditation, through all these methods, through the music, and through the changing of your mind. You will one day turn to become God. Spiritual beings, angels, ghosts, space aliens, they are all very real. And they will guide you. They are not bad. You open your mind and your heart and your lives to them through necromancy, through witches, through wizardry, through all meditations and quiet time and through all kinds of methods that they will teach you. Mind manipulation. You will be able to contact all these spiritual people, spiritual things. They will help you. They will guide you. They will lead you in your life into a good life. The human mind has many levels and controls many powers. You can have the ability to control physical reality if you develop this mind of yours. If you have a very strong mind, you can think strong enough, hard enough. You are not in Pandan, now you are in Hawaii. Can you see? Oh, you see, I'm in Hawaii now. Well, I can see the waves. You see, can you see the waves? That's what they're saying. You can alter reality. Develop a strong mind. Death is not the end. There is only life in different forms. Reincarnation, near-death experiences are some of these mechanisms that reveal to us that when you die, you do not get punished. There's no such thing as hell. You go into a better place. You do good here. You end up in a far, far better place and a better experience. They believe in evolution, quantum mechanics. They believe in a lot of parapsychology. Of course, some of them even use the Bible. They say that Jesus was an Essene. He went to India when he was a young boy. And Jesus, some of them would say, he was a later avatar of Buddha. Avatar means incarnation of Buddha. Jesus later on incarnated and became Buddha. The mind has hidden powers and abilities, and through your dreams and psychic experiences, there are ways in which our souls express themselves to us. Meditation, yoga. God willing, we're going to talk about yoga. In our newspaper, it is said that there are about 55,000 followers of or practitioners of yoga in Singapore. It is now one of the top 10 so-called sports in Singapore today. Yoga, Tai Chi is also what they believe in. And then, of course, they believe in organic vegetarian food. You eat all this fresh food, and then the God in you will slowly but surely come alive. And then they have all these homeopathy. You smell all these wonderful, wonderful aromatherapy. You ever try that? All kinds of smell from all kinds of stuff. And that will help you to bring out this cleansing, and this God will ultimately, finally come forth and you will become God yourself. The lifestyle, a clean life. And then they will tell you that I think I've met you somewhere before in another life. A lot of deja vu experiences. The assumption is that we are trying to bring out from all the religions of the world the very ultimate. We are going to bring out the very best from all the religions of the world and each and every individual. It's up to you how you want to develop it. They will embrace Tibetan Buddhism, Zen Buddhism, Taoism, Shamanism, Gnosticism, including mystical forms of Christianity. New Age is very syncretistic in nature. They believe in one truth but many paths, which is the mainstay of Hinduism. They also hold on to the spiritual dictum of Zen Buddhism, many paths but one mountain. Every man think what is right in his own mind is their philosophy. Is this what we are believing and practicing in our own lives, in the way that we pursue after our ambitions and our goals? We don't pray, we don't ask God for direction. When we send our children to school, when we look for jobs, we just do what we want. We just do what we think is right in our own eyes. And yet, we come to church faithfully, we give our tithe and offering, we think one way, but we act another. Some of these medicine that these people practice would be herbal medicine, crystals, auras, homeopathy, acupuncture, Ayurveda, complementary and alternative medicine. And the music, New Age music, 1967, a successful musical called Hair, H-A-I-R, with its opening song called Aquarius and the memorable line known as the dawning of the age of Aquarius. I heard that it is a very catchy song. How many of you young people have heard of it? Well, 1967, not so young, maybe the old people. And 1967, the age of the dawning of the age of Aquarius, brought the New Age concept to the attention of the world audience. American rock and roll band, The Velvet Underground, 1969, with a song called New Age. And then a New Age genre in instrumental and electronic fashion. They have taken the world by storm. People like Yanni. Ever heard of him? Yanni, Y-A-N-N-I, one of the superstars of the New Age genre. You have Solomon Kiel, you have Brian Eno, you have the ECM labels such as Oregon, the Paul Winter Group. You have Onya, that is the vocal arrangements, also known as Onya, E-N-Y-A or Anya. New Age Grammy Award was given to her for her music. Medwin Goodolph, less well known, but just as New Age as Onya. These are some of the groups that we have to be very careful of. They would use the sounds of the world to deceive us. Often the music is celestial in nature when the title names stars or deep space explorations. Ennio Morricone wrote the entire score for the movie Mission to Mars. You watch the movie Mission to Mars? The entire musical score, New Age. The titles of New Age music are often very illuminating because the words used by the artists, they are very short, very few words, but very catchy. On listening to the music, one may understand the idea within the title. Examples of titles such as Born of Union, Sweet Wilderness, Shepherd Moons, Animus Anima. Or other genres like Psytrance. What is Psytrance? Psytrance is bias toward technology, parapsychology, artificial intelligence, and a view that thoughts create reality. That's called Psytrance. This is the marriage of Western technology, philosophy with Eastern religion and mysticism. And the world has bought this New Age movement in many, many different ways. Are we dabbling with such New Age phenomena? Are we really gods? Yes or no? Are we gods? Did Jesus ever say that we are gods? Psalm 82, verse 6. God says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Psalm 82, verse 6 was quoted by the Lord Jesus Christ himself in John chapter 10. John chapter 10 says this. Verse 30, John chapter 10, verse 30. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stone again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. What blasphemy? Well, and because that thou being a man, makest thyself God. We are not angry when you feed the 5,000. We're not angry when you feed the 4,000, when you heal many, many sick people. We're not angry with you when you do all these good works. We are very angry with you when you blaspheme God, when you say that I and my Father are one. That is equating yourself with God. For this blasphemy, they say, you make yourself God. That's why we want to stone you. And Jesus replied in verse 34, is it not written in your law, ye said, I said, ye are gods? Quoting Psalm 82, verse 6. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent unto the world, thou blasphemest because I said I am the Son of God? Is it so impossible for you to understand that I am God? They could not accept it. How can God be in bodily form? God said to Moses, no man can see God and live. God is a spirit, and here now you stand. We know where you come from. You came from Nazareth. You were brought up there. You were born in Bethlehem, but you were brought up in Nazareth. Your father was a carpenter. You have a history like all of us. How can you call yourself God? And yet Jesus says, quoting Psalm 82, verse 6, ye are gods. And so we have these New Age movement, the basic fundamental idea that there is this force in us which is named God. And so if you do all these things, listen to their kind of music, practice what they practice with their meditation and all their trances and all their quiet time in communicating with the spiritual realm, which to them, all good. They believe in UFOs. And of course, you must eat only organic, clean food. And when you do all these things, slowly the God in you will surface, and one day, ultimately, you will become God. Are we or are we not gods? Do you see yourself as God? If not, then how do you explain Psalm 82, verse 6, where God says, ye are gods? And did the Bible not tell us also in 1 John that we are called, what? Sons and daughters of God, are we not? That's what 1 John says in chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. When are we the sons of God? After we arrive at the state of glorification? Or right now? Verse 2 says, right now, beloved, now! Not next year, not when glorification comes, not when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, but beloved, now are we the sons of God. Of course, the sons of God there would be generic, including men and women. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, like God, for we shall see him as he is. We may look very ordinary now, but God says, but one day we are going to look supernatural. We're going to look like exactly what God had intended us to be as sons of God, children of God, with a glorified body, with a spiritual body, with a powerful body, with a body that is indestructible, a body that will never grow old, a body that will never die. But right now, we all look very ordinary, but God says, now are we the sons of God. So are we or are we not gods? If you are a son of God, like what Jesus says, I and my Father are one, as far as the Jews are concerned, you call yourself God. Because you say that you are God himself with all the essence and characteristic of God, and that's why we want to stone you. And Jesus says, is this so impossible? Is it not what your law says? That ye are gods? So when I tell you that I am the Son of God, capital S, is that so hard for you to understand and to accept? When the Bible says that we are children of God, God would have given to us his attributes. These attributes that God gives to us, the theologians call communicable attributes. God can give us these attributes, his attribute of love, his attribute of mercy, his attribute of temperance, of meekness, of humility. All these that you find in the scriptures that describe what a Christian ought to be, God says, I have given to you. The love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. But there are certain attributes that belong only to God that no man can possess. His immutability. He never changes. Always the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't gain knowledge. That means his omnipotence. All-powerful. All-knowing. Omniscience. Ever-presence. Omnipresence. Now, these are the incommunicable attributes that belong to God and God alone. And although today God may have billions of sons and daughters of the Most High God, genuine believers, we must always understand that although God has given to us his attributes, communicable attributes that make us children of God, we will never, never in any way diminish the relationship that God the Son has with God the Father, even though now he may have billions of adopted children. The unique and special relationship between the Father and Son will always be the same. Special. And he will always be the capital S, the Son of God. And when the Bible describes us, we are always the small s, the small d, sons and daughters of the Most High God. So in this sense, we may be called small g, O-D-S, because we have the characteristics and the attributes of God in that sense. But that's not what the New Ages are teaching. There is a little twist. And the little twist sounds very, very familiar and will bring us all the way back to the time of Genesis 3. Remember how the serpent, when it was possessed by Satan, tempted Eve? God doesn't want you to eat this forbidden fruit. Why? Because God does not want you to be like him, like God. The only God that Eve knew was not Baal or anything. There was no sin. The only God that she knew was Elohim, the capital E, capital G, the real God. And so when Satan tempted Eve and said, if you eat of this, you will be like Elohim. Come on, eat it. Eat it. You will be like God. To Eve, she had the idea of capital G. But to the serpent, it was a small g. But same pronunciation, same spelling, same name. That's deception. Telling you one thing with his own definition and idea, knowing full well that when you receive it, he knows you are going to think exactly the opposite of what he had intended. That is diabolical. That is deadly. And that's why Jesus says, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Anything more than that is evil. That's satanic. And so when you have the New Ages telling the people that there is this force in you that is called God, it is demonic, it is diabolical, it is deadly. There is no such thing. And yet it is a twist of the doctrine that you find in scriptures, that when a person truly, sincerely believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world who died for his sin, who rose again from the dead for his justification, really from the heart, unconditional surrender of our all to God through Jesus Christ, the Bible says you are truly born again. And you are now instantaneously my son, my daughter, child of God. You will never be a capital G God. It's impossible. But that's the lie of Satan, because that's exactly what he himself wanted when he was kicked out of heaven. King Herod, when he was praised by the people, his subjects, there sits God himself. And instead of humbling himself, he leapt up all the wonderful accolades. And right there and then, he died a most shameful and heinous death. Never, never rob God of his glory. The New Age movement is deadly, is diabolical, is demonic. It is basically another device crafted by Satan to lead people, men and women, to join him in the lake of fire. Watch out. Watch out for all these things. They may not corrupt your mind. They may not corrupt your name. You may still have your name and your mind. Remember, Daniel, they can change your lifestyle. You watch out. You and I have no right to live any way we like. We have no right to do what we want. If we really call ourselves Christians, we have to live like Christians. Don't think Christian thoughts and speak Christian things and live worldly, carnal ways of life that will bring shame to Christ. Does the spiritual realm exist? Well, they say it does. They say it is very friendly. It is like Casper the Friendly Ghost. And we make fun and we watch and we laugh. And we as parents bring our children to watch Casper the Friendly Ghost. And then he just float here, float there. Now with all the wonderful technology, it's so real. Is it not real, children, when you watch Casper the Friendly Ghost? It's as if ghosts really exist. They are translucent. You can see them float and you can make things move. Casper the Friendly Ghost. And we all laugh and we bring our children there. It's only for fun. It's only for fun. You ask a child whether it is for fun. They don't know how to differentiate between reality and a figment of man's imagination. Never dabble and play with the occult and call it fun. When one day you lose your children to the occult world, it's not fun then. You will cry and you will ask yourself what happened. And all you have would be, I wish I only had not brought them to these places, exposed them to all these things in the name of so-called education. Remember, you don't have to experience sin to know the heinous nature of sin. The Bible says, in sinful, wicked things, be a child. In godly things, be a man. Do you know that? The lie of Satan is you have to experience it in order to know it. To help someone, you must experience it. That's another lie of Satan. Jesus never, never asked us to dabble in the occult, to play the fool and laugh at it, and tell our children, it's only fun and games. It's not real. Watch out. We have made our mistakes. Don't make any more. If any of all these movies or CDs or VCDs or DVDs inside there of all these funny shows, go home and throw them away. But it costs money. You read the book of Acts. When people became Christians through the ministry of the apostles, they burned thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of paraphernalia as the fruit of genuine salvation. You ask yourself, you want this kind of filth and dangerous stuff in your home for your children? You're going to put a price tag on the soul of your child? What's the price? How much do all these things cost? $10,000? I don't believe it's $10,000. It may not even be $1,000, maybe a few hundred. You mean the soul of your child is only a few hundred bucks? You mean you put a price tag? Jesus says, even if you gain the whole world and you lose your own soul, you think it's worth it? How much do you want to pay for your soul? You have them. It's filth, spiritual filth. Dispose of them. Chuck them away and watch what your children watch. Guide them and teach them and ban them if necessary. When they go to the movies, you allow them to go to the movies. Do you screen the kind of movies they go to? Do you screen the trailers that they will watch before the movies? You allow them to have a totally different way of life. And you tell them it is okay. But then you must think like Christ. You must speak Christian words. But you can live a worldly life. What kind of message are we sending to our children? There is no congruent in what we think, in what we say, with what we do. Daniel realized the danger. Do we? There is a spiritual realm. One controlled by God, where God will always win. The other controlled by Satan, always lose. He will have his followers, and they will continue to wrestle. They will continue to fight. Rest assured that this world may look very three-dimensional, but the reality of this world is not in the three-dimensional realm. The reality of this world is in the spiritual realm. That's what Ephesians 6 teaches us. Ephesians 6, the entire chapter, the verses would teach us in verse 10, Ephesians 6, finally, my brethren, you be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Why must you need to be strong and in the power of the Lord? And you must put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the deception of the devil. The word wiles, that means the work of the netherworld, the underworld. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The reality of the three-dimensional world is not the real world. To the Christian, the real world cannot be seen with our naked eyes. We wrestle against principalities, against powers. Principalities means rulers, powers, authorities. The rulers of the darkness of this world were rulers against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is reality. They are right. The spiritual realm is very real. But for them to say that they are harmless, they are good, they are there to lead you and guide you, is another lie of Satan. Yes, you are gods. Half-truth. Yes, the spiritual realm is real. Half-truth. Satan is the master of half-truth. If it is a full lie, nobody would believe. But if you make it real enough, believable enough, truthful enough, there will be a lot of fools out there who would believe. And Christians, do not be a fool. Do not be a fool. Is the spiritual realm real? Very real. God says it is more real than the three-dimensional realm. But they are not harmless. They are deadly. And that's why Jesus wants us to put on the whole armor of God. And the list will follow from verse 14 onwards. And there is no word, no verse after that to tell us to take it off. We are only told to put on, never take it off. To keep it on, pray without ceasing. That's what he says. Is it not what he says? Keep on praying. Praying always with all prayer. Verse 18. Don't stop praying. That's how you keep it on. Don't take it off. You and I are told to put it on, command to put it on, the whole armor of God, and in order to be strong, that's how you put it on. That's how you be strong. Put on the whole armor of God, your helmet of salvation. That's how you'll be able to stand. At the end of it, you'll be able to stand. Loin of truth, breastplate of righteousness, that is a righteous life, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, everywhere God would send you, be ready to give the gospel, your shield of faith, develop a life of faith, so that all the fiery darts of the wicked one may be able to be quenched, put on the helmet of salvation. He's going to cause you to doubt your own salvation. You protect it. Why is it called a helmet? Because your mind is the place that he's going to attack and undermine. And then a sword of the Spirit, that is the word of God. And then you keep all this on by praying without ceasing. Please pray. It is a spiritual warfare. Some of you may already know those who come for the prayer meeting. Another letter has come. The pastors will be sued once again. Please pray. Fast and pray on Tuesday. Come and pray with us. It is a spiritual warfare. It is a spiritual exercise. We just go on our knees and pray. and ask the Lord to help and to intervene. If we are made bankrupt, do you want us to be pastors still? Church without pastor, a church will die. No shepherd. It is a spiritual warfare. Please pray. It is not fun and games. It is reality. And the reality is not the three-dimensional world. It's the spiritual realm. And it is not all good. It is evil. Put on the whole armor of God. Can we really manipulate reality with our mind? You can't. The only one who can manipulate reality is God Himself. He can make something out of nothing. That is our God. This kind of lies stem from the point number one, is that you are gods. And so if you are God, you can also become like God in your own power. You can manipulate reality. They call it positive thinking. All kinds of nice euphemistic terms to deceive the gullible, the simple, and the naive. See through all these nonsense. You find them in psychology classes. You find them in schools. You find them in business meetings. They'll send you on courses. And they're going to teach you to do all these kind of things. And then, like fools, we imbibe and we accept and we bring it into our workplace. And not only do we not bring it into our workplace, we bring it into our church. And some of us may even bought this idea and bring it into our Sunday school and teach our children. Watch out. Watch out. It is very real out there. You cannot manipulate reality. Reality, the Bible says, is not by the manipulating of our minds. The mind is and must be protected by God's people. Empty your mind. Empty your mind. Just sit there. Think of nothing, yoga. Think of nothing. Empty your mind. The Bible never says empty your mind. The Bible says guard your mind. Guard your mind well. Philippians 4. Guard your mind very, very well. Philippians 4, 6 to 9. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep, that is, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think, use your mind, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace, which will give you the peace of God, shall be with you. Never empty your mind and allow filthy satanic thoughts to come in. Clean your mind up. Romans 12, 1 and 2 also teach us the same thing. The only thing that is able to clean our mind, to sanctify our mind, is the Word of God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, your life, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, expected, logical service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 1 talks about the life. Verse 2 talks about the mind behind the life. Both must be congruent as Christians. Is it really true that there is no punishment after death, as they say? It's just reincarnation. Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. Don't believe the lie of Satan. Luke 16 tells us that the greatest evangelists in hell will be those who are found in hell. The rich man, when he died, he was in hell. He cried, send Lazarus back. I want my brothers to be saved. I don't want my brothers who are alive to join me in this place. That's too late. If they do not believe my prophets, if they do not believe Moses, if they do not believe the word of God, even if I send someone back from the dead, they will not believe. There is a punishment after death. Without the Savior and you die in your sin, you and I will be found in hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. There is no annihilation. That is another doctrine of devils. No annihilation. You don't die and then disappear in the thin air. You can't go and tell the person. You want to believe in Jesus, you will go to heaven. You don't believe in Jesus, you disappear into nothingness. That is another lie of Satan. Don't ever believe the lie of Satan. There is a real, serious, eternal punishment when you die in your sin without the Savior. And the spiritual realm is real. And you and I will never become God in the capital G. And watch out. Watch out. We live in a world where it is nothing but the old lie of Satan dressed up in new garments. Be discerning in what you eat, where you go, how you live. What you think is what you are. Watch out. Please do not just think like Christ. Be Christ-like in the way that we live. In our recreation time, in our pastime, in whatever we do. The world is not a friendly place. The world is wicked. Prince of this world is in control. And the New Age movement is just another arm designed by Satan to confuse and to confound the 21st century human being. With all these wonderful popular theology, with all these new way of life, new way of thinking, new way of medicine, watch out. There's nothing wrong with eating organic food, please. You want to eat organic food, by all means, but you watch out for the philosophy behind some of these people who design and create organic food for you. You watch out. You be discerning. You say you are very concerned about eating chicken rice, that there's a store there with this altar. You feel very uncomfortable. Fine. And then now you have all these homeopathy and all this aromatherapy and all this organic food concept bandied around by all these new ages, and all this is fine to you. On one hand, you say this is no good. On the other hand, the idols are invisible. You do not see any altar in their shops. But the philosophy and the thinking behind it is just as deadly, if not more deadly, than the altars that you see in these shops. The New Age movement is like the tentacles of a gigantic octopus. It has crept into every aspect of our lives. Be discerning and have the moral strength and courage and fiber in your backbone, spiritual backbone, to do that which is right. Not just to think godly thoughts, but to do godly things for the glory of God.